There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your host, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. How are you, Sean?
I'm wonderful. This is, I like standing up, so this can be fun.
My old man decided he would like to stand up for this podcast. I think your back's hurting. You're getting older, so.
So, if anybody else standing desks out there, I would love some feedback on standing desks, because I think that's where I'm headed with this, so.
Awesome. Well, happy to be back again. So we are on episode 75. Can you believe it?
Wow.
We're climbing up there. So we're actually going to be doing a property management series. So today we're actually going to be talking about selecting the right rental property and prepping it for rent. So it's going to be a three-part series. So this is going to be the first one. Second one is we're going to be talking about how to properly screen your residents. And then the third episode, which I think a lot of our listeners are going to want to be tuning into this, is avoiding pitfalls and costly mistakes while managing property. Also effectively doing maintenance and make ready. So
those
expenses can make or break your return on investment, right?
So it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us. It's a challenge for every investor.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about the pitfalls when it comes to that. So today, let's talk about selecting the right rental property and prepping it for rent. So for the purpose of time, we're going to just be talking about single family homes, right? So why don't you get started with what do you look for when you select a property?
Yeah, and I think this series is going to be good for the, if you're looking at just buying a rental property and getting involved in that, if you're currently managing your own property, or if you're managing, have
property management company.
And if you're a property management company, I think it's good for all listeners, and I think you'll benefit everybody. But, you know, and there's a lot of places to get involved in real estate, and you know, we're going to focus just on single families because there's a lot of different avenues of commercial, apartments, all that. But we're going to talk about just single family because that's what we're experiencing. That's our niche, and that's what we do on a day to day. So
absolutely.
For finding property, you know, we just had our one of the perks about working for our company is we do an event called Noontimers, and I got that from when I used to play basketball. There was the Noontimers that would come in high school.
You're just aging yourself.
And play basketball at noon, and so that's where I got the Noontimers from. And so our staff meets or whoever wants to participate, you know, once a month we go over deals and flips and things that were going on, and then and ones that our employees are doing, and we go over together and talk about our successes and wins. And a lot of it though is about talking about how to find the right property and where to look. And when we're dealing with wholesalers, you know, analyzing those deals and what makes a good deal. And so when you're looking and you're searching, I'm not going to get into this is more property management focused.
Right.
So I'm not going to get into how to find the properties and all that. There's a couple of episodes that we've done on that already. I want to talk about when you're looking at single family homes and you're looking at what's going to make a great rental, what homes should you look at? What type of properties are going to make a good rental property? And this is all for properties that you're going to hold long-term. In our markets, two markets, Houston, and this is not going to work for everywhere because certain markets maybe have smaller homes or different style of homes than what we have in Albuquerque and in Houston or in Texas. I like the 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage, average square footage around 1,600 square feet. Those have always been our bread and butter homes. Yeah, we've done extremely well over the years. They appeal to your largest tenant pool. They appeal to your largest home buying pool. So when you're ready to resell it, usually that first time home buyer, FHA, you know, even though FHA is kind of frowned upon because people can are going conventional and all that. Right. But that's not all those. They're usually appeal to your largest home buying pool. And so we've always really done well with those 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage. So that's where I'd focus.
Yeah, absolutely. That. Totally agree with that. And I also, you know, wanted, because we just talked about this in our Noontimers group, but, you know, looking for properties that don't need major work, right? Because, I mean, as you know, is
we just went over one.
We had an employee that we went in on a deal, and we just went over budget. I mean, we could have probably built the house.
40,000 over budget.
So you want clean and clean up, paint, you know, minor cosmetic stuff, not major rehabs where you're changing walls, and unless you really are going, and have experience, and you know going into it that that's what it's going to cost.
I agree with you 100%. The especially if you're just starting out, I mean, focus on something that's simple. These are going to be long-term holds. Even if you make a mistake, long-term, you hold it long enough, you can get out of it. But you're looking for properties that have equity, that 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage, 1,600 square foot. I prefer homes that are built, you know, at least, I would say 20 years and newer.
1980 was to our typical, you know.
Cutoff,
right.
Because a lot of times you start getting into issues with electrical, plumbing, you know, asbestos, lead-based paint, all those. So, you know, and I know you can make money at all those types. I'm talking more for the investors that just getting started, or you want just not a major issue home.
Right.
If you have experience, you've been doing this for a while, you can get into those major rehabs. But
it could put a bad taste in your mouth real quick if you get into a property having to do all this work, and then, you know, you lose money on it that you weren't expecting, right?
Where it gets really expensive, you start getting into, like, galvanized piping and all that. It deteriorates. It's going to rot. You're going to have to replace it at some point. You have a lot of old electrical panels or the Federal Pacific panels that need to be upgraded. They're fire hazards. You start getting into all that, it starts just eating up at the cost. Roofs, HVAC, pay attention to those and the age of those, because those are going to be big expenses. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we focus on mainly cosmetic updating. So we did well in the 80s, homes built in the 80s, 2000s that just needed updating, just were outdated, and paint, carpet, countertops, appliances. Those are the kind of the items that we would focus on and update.
And just to, you know, I want to make sure that all our listeners know, like, whenever you're evaluating a property, like, make sure you have your contractors out there on the job just to evaluate the deal to make sure that you're hitting your budgets. Because I know on this one that we talked about, you know, it wasn't in our area. You know, we don't typically invest in this area. Mm-hmm. And so it was too far out for us to go look at it and to make sure that we were on budget, that kind of thing. And look, we messed up, right? So make sure it's an area that you can manage your contractors and meet your contractors there to make sure that you're going to be on budget.
And one of the things that came up in our class just recently was we were talking about, one of the questions that came up was like, man, where should I focus? You know, you showed me one that was like an hour away from you guys live, and you didn't recommend that. And then you picked one that was closer. Should I be looking maybe in a rural area? And I said, no, focus on an area that you're going to become an expert in. Like, I think it has more to do, not so much the like running all over town. It's about getting to know a particular area, sub-market within your market that you become really, really an expert in. So you know the comps, you know the price per square foot that homes sell at, you know the price per rent that homes rent at, you know rehab budgets, you know, because of those age of homes that it's going to take about this much to rehab it, and you become an expert. So when a wholesaler or a homeowner or someone comes up on MLS and you can make a quick decision like, hey, that's a good deal. Let me analyze it a little bit further and then I make an offer. And you can move quicker than other people can.
So. Yeah. And I mean, you might not be in areas that you can do this in, right? In your own hometown.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's crucial that you find a team on the ground, you know, that can do these things for you.
They're a good turnkey provider or a realtor or a property management company.
Absolutely.
With them. Yeah. Absolutely. But some of the fundamentals as you're looking into rental properties that you should focus on is strong cash flow. So number one, it's got a cash flow. You don't buy something just on appreciation alone.
Right.
The fundamentals got to make sense. You got to be able to acquire it. It's got to have good cash flow. You're going to have expenses, so budget for that, you know, and set that aside. But start with good cash flow. I like to focus on areas that are going to have solid growth. So, you know, one thing that we brought up again in this class was that, you know, some of your and I's best deals, I remember in 2007, 2008, we had done a couple rehabs that we went way over budget again. Mm-hmm.
And we held those.
We couldn't sell them because the market was starting to cool. Right. You know, they weren't moving for the price points we needed to get out from underneath them. So we're like, man, let's just rent them and keep mm-hmm. them. And we held them for 10, 12 years. And
make good money.
I think one of them almost tripled in value. The other one doubled in value. But that, you know, and those were, we were over leveraged or overspent, you know, and we had more expenses in those homes than we had what they were mm-hmm. worth at the time. But when they double and triple in value over a 10-year period, you can do very, very well. So that's, don't get, we're all in this to make a profit. So, I mean, you want to buy right, but I always like these areas that are going to have growth. So you can know in certain parts of the market or the city
mm-hmm. where new employment there's either, opportunities. Yeah,
jobs are going. Right. Maybe they're right on the edge of a very appreciating neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And usually it's going to fall over or spill over into the neighborhood right next to it. As those areas get too expensive, people are like, well, I can go right across the street and buy in this area. And so that's what happened in this particular area where we held. You know, they were right out of the side of the Heights. They were, and the Heights were just blowing up in Houston. Right. And then, you know, and that it just kept growing that direction. And all of a sudden ours became not quite the Heights, but it just as much.
Right. Know,
it appreciated extremely fast. So.
Yeah. And avoiding, you know, high crime areas as well is something you want to look at. If you're not sure, you know, which areas, again, that's why you have a team as well. And, you know, do your research out there.
Correct. And the high crime is, and the reason why Joey said that, number one, you don't have theft and issues, but also families aren't going to move to that area if it's a really high crime. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say there's a asterisk in that, meaning that if it's an area that's going through regentrification, transitional. transitional, but regentrification, and it's going through a change, again, if you are more experienced, you have rentals, you understand that, I'm good with those markets because you're usually on the front end or an early adopter in a market or into an area in your neighborhood that's going to appreciate really rapidly. And if you can get there early, you can really see the but you got to weather through some, you know, you might not feel comfortable.
Yes. For the first and that's time. That's actually one of the first questions I ask when I have a client calling in to, you know, for property management services, like, where is this property located? Right. Because if I can't send my people out there to collect rent or meet with the tenant, I'm probably not going to manage. So it's going to be very difficult for you to get somebody to manage that property if it's not in a good area.
Yeah. So schools are important as well. I don't think they're the, as far as rental properties, they're the end all. I think it definitely does help. Yes. And it definitely, people are attracted to certain neighborhoods or zip codes or cities.
Based on the school district.
Because on the school district. But sure. It's not, especially that on the home buying side, especially, but on tenants somewhat. But for the most part, when you're looking to rent, you know, people are renting because it's close to their job or they grew up in the area. And those are the main reasons. And a lot of it's job close to where they work. But you want to be in areas that have good schools. It's something to look for, lower crimes, and then job growth. Mm-hmm. That's where we always tend to focus.
For sure.
Another thing that I've learned over the years, especially managing, you know, so many homes that we have, really large homes, in my opinion, I know you can get more in rent and all that. I don't care for them.
Yeah.
I think, and everyone we've had, like, they get the, we have a tenant move out of them, right? And they get the paint estimate and they're like flipping out because they're like, you know, it's $6,000-$7,000 just to repaint.
Another thing too, now that you brought that up, is avoid houses with pools for rental purposes, right? Cause there's so much there's liability on that. And then when it comes to pool maintenance, I don't know how many times we've been stuck. Anytime we manage a pool, tenants don't take care of it. The pool turns green. And the owner is upset because the pool's, you know, a mess, right? Mm-hmm. And it just costs them more money. And money pit.
Large acreage or large land, because again, it's one of those things that tenant's not going to probably keep up, you know, the entire acre. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have some part of it die or not be maintained. And that, you know, also is a, for rental purposes, unless it's a like smoking deal or, I don't know, maybe you want to move there someday or something like that. I just don't feel like you should buy, you know, large lots, large homes, homes with pools. Am I missing anything yeah. else? I would also say
awkward yes.
homes, and then and I'll get to that one in a minute. But also small homes. So if you're the smallest home in the subdivision, I don't really care for those either, because I think so if you're on either spectrum of the neighborhood,
you're the bigger yeah. home in the subdivision. That's also difficult.
Yeah, and because I always get these investors that will show me properties, or they bought this and they're like, but look at the price per square foot. I'm like, yeah, but you're the largest home in the neighborhood. You'll never get what the other homes are getting for, because you're like 1,000 right. square feet bigger than everybody else. What, you're not going to get that same square footage as 1,000 square foot home mm-hmm. smaller. And then same thing with the smaller ones. You know, it just, it's hard to make it work. And so I don't like either spectrum. I like kind of be in the middle, and I like, because I'm going to appeal to the most amount of people for that area. So, but awkward homes is another one. So like
garage conversions, I don't know. A lot of we run into those
weird
sometimes.
Baths, weird if they're, if it's weird, like meaning like it's just layout is really funky. Tenants mm-hmm. don't like funky homes either.
Or we were just talking about, you know, I think they brought a property that was 4 bedroom, 1 bath.
Yeah. And so I would, unless you can convert either one of those bedrooms into a large closet and an extra bathroom, or you can convert a closet and make it into a bathroom so you can make it a 4-2 right. or 3-2.
Not many people with just yeah. one bathroom.
It doesn't work. No. And, you know, with the pandemic and everybody staying a lot more time at home, mm-hmm. you want to make these homes enjoyable. And right. I think the biggest takeaway from this section over this part of this series is put yourself in the resident's shoes. And I know I've done it, and I'm speaking to myself here. It's so easy as an investor to say, it's just a rental. You know, it's just, who cares? It's just mm-hmm. a rental.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you know, like, yeah, the paint doesn't have to be perfect, or it can be sloppy because it's just a rental.
Right.
But you know what? Guess what's going to happen?
It's their home.
You're going to get somebody that's going to, the only person that's going to accept that home is somebody that's probably not going to care for exactly. your home as well. Yeah. And then they trash it. They mess it up, and then you're like, well, I can't believe they screwed up my home. Well, it's just a rental. Like, they don't care either. You know, if they see that you don't care about the house, why are they
going to
care about
it? They're not going to care about it.
So, and yeah. I'm not saying that.
And I think there's a balance there, too, yeah. because I see it on the other spectrum where, you know, they want to put really nice chandeliers up and, you know, over-improve the property. And it's like, man, like,
why? And then they're like, well, I should get $3,000 more in rent exactly. because I got this $3,000 chandelier. No, you can't. No. And it's not going to appeal. And that's another, I got this immaculate yard. Well, guess what? It's probably not going to be like that in a year.
Well, hopefully.
But it, you know, and realistically, yes. you know, you're not going to get more rent. It might rent quicker, but it's not, doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to get more in rent exactly. for a lot of these items. So like stuff like that, you look at comps. I mean, comps mm-hmm. are going to be your biggest, you know, you look at what things are renting for price per square foot.
Right.
And maybe a little bit more because you have this or that, but it's typically it's going to rent based upon the mm-hmm. neighborhood and what's renting that area. But yeah, that's a great point you mentioned, was avoid both spectrums. Don't be a slumlord and, you know, make a crappy property because mm-hmm.
because then you're going to not get decent yeah, tenants.
These are people's homes. Like, make it nice mm-hmm. and make it livable and make it enjoyable where they want, yeah. where they want
to
care for
it. Your whole goal is to get them to stay longer term. You yeah. know, you want them to renew 2-3 years
yeah.
because every turnover you do, you're going to have expenses when it comes to make ready, which we're going to discuss in yeah. The third one episode. But yeah, I mean, it's try to make it enjoyable for them.
Correct. And then the other side of the spectrum is don't over improve mm-hmm. it. So don't over improve it with yard or chandeliers, or because in the end, you know, they're probably, it doesn't matter to them, or it's not, it still is a rental property for them. And I'm kind of contradicting myself, but they're not probably going to take it care of it as a homeowner,
right?
To the extent of a homeowner. So there's certain things you just don't need to
do. Yeah, like washer and dryer. I just had a situation where one of the owners like put a really nice washer and dryer in, and a month later, like, they're already broken, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like those kind of things. I mean, let the tenants do that. Yeah.
And certain finishes, I think you can buy, depending on the price point. Always study the price point for your neighborhood. So sometimes you can buy with laminate countertops rather mm-hmm. than granite and save some money there. And down the road, when you're ready to resell it and it's appreciated, doubled in value, then put the granite mm-hmm. and resell it. But
yeah, and that's a good point. And I think looking at the photos of the leased properties and see what kind of finishes those have mm-hmm. and kind of copy the same finishes those have.
Correct. So as far as like, you know, we're skipping ahead a little bit, but, you know, when they're getting it ready to rent, what kind of things should they do to get it rent ready or to get it ready to lease? And number one, should they market it ahead of time or should they wait till it's fully ready?
So number one, yes, wait until the property is rent ready, right? You want to make sure it looks clean, presentable, because first impression is everything. So the minute that that tenant walks in the door, they want to fall in love with it. Not that there's all kinds of paint buckets everywhere and things on the walls. Like, you want it to be presentable for them. So definitely do the make ready before listing a property on the market. But some things that we look for, so we do a full takeover inspection on the interior and the exterior. And we look at paint on the exterior and the interior. You know, is the property clean? Does it need carpet cleaning? That kind of thing. You know, and just making it look presentable.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we get a lot of like, you know, do-it-yourselfers that, mm-hmm. you know, turn it over to us and like, it's ready. And you show up there and it's like, like you said, it's got the plugs are still off, the plate covers, the, you know, they're still painting and all that. It's like, it's not ready. Because what ends up happening too is you go too early and you start marketing it too early. All of a sudden, you know, tenants that go and look at the property start saying, okay, well, number one, they start questioning things mm-hmm. and they start, well, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Or they make assumptions. They're like, oh, well, you know, they decide to lease it. And then when they go to move in, you're like, why didn't you paint that and that? And you're like, well, I was only painting this wall. Well, they assumed you were painting the whole house. Yeah. So like, I mean, there's a lot of things that can, unless you're, and I doubt people out there, especially if you're self-managing are that, communicating that much. So mm-hmm. don't, you know, have it be 100% ready. And when we say 100%, carpet's clean, house clean, interior drawers clean.
Yeah.
The cabinets cleaned out, the yard cut, the yard mulch, to make it look nice and ready.
When they drive up, they're like, wow, you know, this property, like, I want to lease it today.
Yeah.
Because we see that all the time, too, where, you know, investors that are getting their own contractors to do the property, too, you know, we have to come back and be like, no, like, this is not done, you know. And so walking your property with your contractor is crucial because they will miss stuff.
Absolutely. Doing your final punch list mm-hmm. and all. I think if you're doing a big make ready or a big rehab and then you're going to keep it as a rental, you know, look for some of the things that I think we overlook sometimes. And like if you're doing a new build, have it be cable ready, Ethernet, you know, because everybody's working mm-hmm. from home. So they, you know, so Ethernet ports and all that, put that all in. You can get really cool now with the plugs. You can have what is it called? Like USB mm-hmm. Plugs now with the regular outlet plugs, because everybody has phones and all that they need to plug in. So there's a lot of things that you can make it a little bit nicer and a little bit. And
the smart home systems are the in thing right now too. You know, the smart ACs where you can adjust it, you know.
Yeah. And don't go overboard.
No, you don't have to. Stuff. Yeah. But
these are just some nice touches depending on the price.
Right.
Point.
Right.
And then just again, have it be 100% ready. Another big one that we when we get clients that we take over and start managing, they don't have all their code work done.
That's probably the biggest thing is, you know, most of them don't know it even exists, right? Yeah. And so they're like, what do you mean I have to do code work? Well, it's got to be compliance with Texas property code. What's property code? Yeah. You know, and so look up property code. It's a real thing there, you know?
So, I mean, depending on where you're listening from, you know, each market has its own, each city has its own, and county has its own property code. Mm-hmm. So there's different things for rentals. There's different things for multifamily compared to single family. So
making sure you have the right, you know, door locks on the system, the keyless deadbolts, the smoke detectors, you know, making sure those work properly
door viewers,
and they're, you know, tested.
Yeah. And rekeyed. Mm-hmm. Always have it rekeyed. We get that a lot of times, like where tenant, like the homeowner lived there And he's like, well, I've only had it. And it's like, well, who else had your key? You know, you should provide the tenant with a no. So nobody has access to that home without.
Yes, it should be rekeyed. No matter if you're the owner or the tenant, yeah. After every move out, you should have it rekeyed.
Something else that I think a lot of times we get homeowners that avoid this is like clean air filters. And
that's something that we look at, right? I mean, I don't know how many, I would be disgusted if I walked into a property and had a dirty air filter, yeah. Right? And so that's just, again, first impression. Correct. Set your tenant up for success.
And I think the biggest thing with that is, you know, I don't know how, we'll get into that as we talk about this in the third episode, but our property management company, in our leases, we hold the tenants that when they move out, they had to provide professional home cleaning, professional carpet mm-hmm. cleaning, and provide the receipts, or else correct. We automatically do it in our mm-hmm. make ready. And the yard cut, and then they had to have clean air filters. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to hold them accountable to all that, you got to give absolutely. Them the property in that right condition, yes. Because you're going to start off on a bad foot right off the bat, and then you're going to probably, there's going to be issues along the lease the whole time. But so start it off right. If you start it off on the right step, things will go exactly. a lot smoother.
Because they will not forget. The minute that you fail, they're going to, when they move out, they're going to bring that point back up.
Every time they have an issue.
You give me a dirty air filter, so I'm going to give you a dirty air filter. You correct. Gave me a dirty house.
They'll make a point of it.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a dirty house, right? Yeah.
Yes. Even though they're going to be charged for it. Yes. Because it's part of they signed a lease, and that's what it says. But that's, so, you know, just have those items done up front. It'll set you up on the right step with them up front. Mm-hmm. And then, again, put yourself in their shoes. So just look at it if you were renting the home, you know, and you, again, don't overdo it, but put yourself in their, it's not just a rental.
Right.
Put themselves like, yes. Hey, this is their home. This is where they're going to live. This is where they raise their family. Mm-hmm. The more you can put yourself in those and looking through that lens, I think the longer term tenant you'll get.
Absolutely.
And then the biggest thing is the walk the home.
Yeah, walking the property 3 days prior to move in is crucial. And have a checklist with you on item. Whoever's walking the property, have a checklist on what you expect them to look at when they're going into this property. I mean, leaks underneath the sink. Turn on the faucets. Make sure there's no leaks underneath the sink. Checking the air filter. Yeah, running the dishwasher. Turning on the lights to make sure that all the light bulbs are changed. I mean, those are just pet peeves that most tenants would be like, man, like, why didn't they change the light bulb, yeah. Right? It was just a single light bulb. How much would that cost?
But they want me to hold, they want me exactly. to change the light bulbs.
Right.
Yeah, so it just, again, it makes check a big all difference. Those items. Yeah, the door's locked, the door's latched. So we walk them 3 days prior to the move-in mm-hmm. just to make sure nothing changed, make sure maybe we had a bunch of showings and we got a bunch of traffic through the home and we need to do a refresh right. real quick.
And that's another point too that I want to make is that while this once it's all clean and ready to go and the rehab is completed, make sure that you're monitoring your property at least once a week when it's vacant. Because point. Things happen. People are coming in and out of your property. You want to make sure that the property is swept up. So come back and sweep it back. And also avoid theft and vandalism.
Yeah.
Or squatters. I mean, we just had a situation, right? And they've been checking on the property.
Yeah.
So you just want to avoid those.
Was that the black cat?
Yes.
That was a squatter. We had a cat in the house. And so it was squatting and they didn't want to get rid of the cat. So,
These are like real issues that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Right. So, you know, try to avoid those things by monitoring it weekly.
Awesome. Well, I hope you enjoyed this first episode. Again, it's going to be a three-part series in how to properly manage your rental property and set up for success. So,
yes.
It's been fun.
Yes. Yeah. I love this stuff and looking forward to the next episode.
Awesome. So we'll see you all next week. Please share this.
Rate us.
Yeah, please.
And give us some feedback. Now as we're going through this series, if you have questions that you want answered or want a topic that you want to add to it, hey, we're all ears here. We want to provide as much value as we can.
Awesome. See y'all next week, guys.
Take care.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there. talking.
Cock, cock, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolfsDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.